Hey everybody, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This week I wanted to go ahead and answer a few listener questions. I've had some questions sent to me in email over the past couple of months. Some of them I think were some interesting questions, and so I thought I'd go ahead and spend this week's podcast answering those questions, because some of you I've emailed those answers back to, but like I said, I think there's some interesting questions, and we go ahead and throw those out there for you guys. The first question I got asked, which I thought was kind of interesting, was how do I find new photographers? So as a person who loves photography, as a person who collects photo books, as a person who's an educator, I'm oftentimes needing to find and be exposed to lots of new photographers. And so somebody asked me how I go about finding those. One of the things I do is I subscribe to the newsletter, and I'm not a huge person for newsletters and junk mail and email, but PhotoEye, which is a bookstore down in New Mexico. PhotoEye curates and brings in some of the best of the photo collections, photo books. They also have a great auction site with old books that have gone out of print. They also have signed books. There's a huge variety of books down there on photography. There's just a whole host of different photographers, topics, subtopics, different types of photo essays. And so I really like going down there. And that's one of the first places I kind of look to find new photo work, new photo books, because I figure even in their emerging collection, it might be somebody I haven't heard of before. I also look to friends. I have a lot of friends who are photographers, and I'm always asking them, what photographers caught their eye? What photographers are they following? Have they found somebody new? Several of my friends are very involved in the photo community. One of them is a book publisher, and so she's always exposing me to different things. But always asking friends, where do you find interesting and new photographers? I also have a number of gallery sites that I actually visit, because one of the things that gallery owners do is they're always looking for new talent. They're always looking for new work. They're also showcasing the new work of their existing artists that they represent. So I have a number of different websites. Here in Seattle, we have the G. Gibson Gallery. There's Blue Sky in Portland. There's several in Chelsea. There's the Weston Gallery in Carmel. So there's a lot of different galleries out there. And just hitting their website once a month, once a quarter, somewhere like that, just kind of seeing who are they showing, what are they representing, because there's always new and emerging artists coming out there. The other thing I like about that is you can really kind of go in and find just based on the region, the gallery owner, a totally different look at what type of artists are being curated and collected. So whether you're looking at LGBTQ, if you're looking at race relations, if you're looking for landscape, no matter what you're looking for, there's a gallery somewhere out there that's representing artists who kind of focus in on that. Another area is I like to look at actually history books of photography. And one of the things that's interesting about the history books is for a long time, they were very tailored to a very subset of photographers. So they're kind of the classically trained and classically aware photographers. But there's a lot of other history books out there that cover the people who are not included in those history books. So we have a very incomplete history of photography in our history books. So to go out and actually find specific books, for example, I picked up Reflections in Black, which is African-American photographers from the 1840s forward, which is an amazing collection of beautiful portrait work, studio work, street work, all sorts of different things of different African-American photographers who've not been included in our history books. So there's a chance to go out and really see and explore that way as well. So kind of a combination of a lot of books, friends, and gallery sites is the way I do that. Sometimes I find things on social media, but I usually don't spend my time perusing social media for an extended period of time. I much rather sit down with a book than find a photographer online. But occasionally I do get sent photographers online, and I think that's a kind of a way to find them. The next question I got asked was, what do I think is the biggest challenge facing photographers today? And it's an interesting question, because I think one of the biggest challenges is the fact that we keep making up challenges for photographers. At the end of the day, you got to pick up a camera, you got to take photographs, you got to make photographs, you got to process and print those photographs, and you got to get those photographs distributed to whatever channel you're interested in actually using, whether it's galleries, editorial, commercial. But at the end of the day, it's creating the work. And so I think there's a lot of challenges about, do I switch gear? What kind of lighting? There's too many people out there who are just picking up cameras and they're crushing the market by doing things for free. And we spend a lot of time spinning our wheels trying to figure out what that challenge is. But I think that the big challenge is that we make up challenges that allow us to justify the impediment to us actually creating our work. Other than that, I do think one of the other challenges that people face is we're inundated with a lot of information, and it's very easy just to spend your entire day learning something instead of actually doing something. So I would say one of the other big challenges is to get yourself out from behind a book, a class, a lecture, and actually or a online YouTube video, whatever it is, and actually spend the time to sit down and actually practice what you're doing. One of the things I was having a conversation with some people about is that there's a big difference between watching a tutorial and actually knowing how to do something. So I think a lot of us watch tutorials on lighting, we watch on posing, on Photoshop technique, on platinum printing, whatever it is. And then because we've seen that, we believe we now have that skill. But that skill is actually done through repetition and practice over and over again. So I think there's a step there in the challenge of actually implementing the things we learn. The next question I got was, what's my current favorite printing paper? And that's kind of a loaded question because I do think there's a number of different papers and you select the paper based on the thing you're actually printing. So certain papers require, you know, papers that are much smoother. Certain papers require more texture. I mean, the more texture you have, the more perceived sharpness you're going to get. So there's a number of things with the different substrates. But since the question was, what was actually my favorite paper? Right now, I'm printing a lot on the new Epson Legacy papers. I also print on some of the Hanamuel papers, and Canson has a couple of papers I really like. There is a quality to all of those kind of higher-end papers that I really, really like, particularly the color gamut and the D-Max black on the Legacy papers I think is really, really well done, particularly with the new ink set from Epson. The Hanamuel papers are always so consistent, and they're so beautiful, and I love the weight and texture of them, whether it be the Photo Rag to the William Turner. I think across the line, the Hanamuel papers do a really, really, really nice job. I particularly like their ultra smooth Photo Rag paper. I think that is a beautiful, beautiful job for really subtle tonal shifts and things like that. I think that's a really nice paper. The next question was, how do you critique a bad photograph? And I think this is a great question because I think as more and more people start to actually have their work looked at, and as you start to critique other people's works, at some point you come across what is truly a bad photograph. So it's not a photograph that needs a slight level of improvement. It's literally a bad photograph. And we try, well, not everybody, but I do think there is an important aspect of trying to be respectful when you're actually providing a critique so the information can actually be heard. When I come across a time when there's a really bad photograph, and oftentimes it's never a whole set of photographs. If I'm critiquing a body of work, 8, 10, 12, 15 photographs, usually there might be a couple in there that aren't that strong, aren't that good a photograph, but there's usually other ones that kind of counterbalance that out. So I'll assume that that's kind of what's going on. Or if we've got the single image and somebody's like, hey, what do you think of this one photograph? My response in both cases is pretty similar. One of the things I like to do is kind of flip the conversation back to them and say, you know, one, I'd love to critique the photograph and I want to talk about the photograph. But I always ask them to start with, what do they see as the strengths and the weaknesses within the photograph? Because one of the things that I have learned is that when people ask somebody to look at a bad photograph, rarely do they not know that it's a photograph that has an issue. While we're not very adept at speaking about our visual literacy, we are very adept at understanding our visual literacy because of the amount of images we've been inundated with. So we do have some innate understanding of what makes a good photograph or a bad photograph. And a lot of times what I've discovered is that when there's a photograph that somebody's having critiqued that's not a really strong photograph, what it can be is that they know something's wrong, but they just can't identify with the issue with that particular photograph. So I like to give them the opportunity to step forward and think to themselves, oh, what do I see as the problem with the photograph? Well, here's what I see in that photograph. I see this, I see this, I see this, but I can't figure out why it's not working. That opens an opportunity for me to be able to say, okay, here's what I'm seeing with the photograph. Here's what I'm experiencing with the photograph. And then we can talk about what would we do to make the photograph more interesting, more complete, better in that process. Because at the end of the day, I think for a lot of those photographers who are having that work shown, like I said, they know there's something there. They just can't put their finger on it. And that's why they're actually seeking the work. That all being said, there have been some times where I've actually met with some very big-egoed people who have bad photographs. And in that case, you know, I try a little Socratic method, try backing into this, but at some point I have to say to them, and I always try to do it as an opinion of, this is my opinion, I'm one person, this is my experience, and this is what I'm seeing in the work. I'm just not understanding these elements, the composition, the framing, the colors, the textures, all of those different things, because I think they're a really significant part of understanding what makes the photograph work or not work. and I'm not seeing that. And I think it's something that you should go back and really spend some time looking at the photographs and seek the opinion of some other people to see if they're experiencing the same thing. Because it is entirely possible that my own opinion is just out in left field. The last kind of question I got was, what are my current projects and how do I assimilate and create those projects? And we've talked about this a number of times over the course of the podcast. What really makes a strong project? How do you engage in the projects? The different ways people come about with projects. And for me, I had a pretty dormant period for a while of not really doing a lot of project work. I was just randomly shooting some different things. I've been working in the new studio. I've been working on the new classes. I've been working on new workshops coming up and things like that. And so I always had something kind of there as a distraction to the work. But over the past, I'd say 5 to 6 months, I've really kind of come back into some interesting work for me from a fine art standpoint. So no editorial work here, no commercial work, just my own personal projects. One of the things I'm working on is a project called Current and Drift, which is about ocean currents and driftwood. And so it's just the assimilation of those two things. I'm kind of fascinated about how the water moves and carries the wood from different places and how the forms and figures in the ocean waves, how they also are then shaping and creating different images and folds within the driftwood. I'm also continuing to try to finish up my metal on metal project, which is out of some platinum work. I'm also doing some work on some floral work in wet plate. So I've got a number of different kind of fine art projects going on. I've also got two portrait projects I'm starting up, which I'm pretty excited about. I've never done formalized portrait projects before, but I've had two kind of ideas bouncing around in my head that I'm working on for those. So about 5 or 6 different projects going concurrently right now. And basically to balance those, I just kind of follow the energy and see where they kind of drift from one to the other. A couple of them, I'm still figuring out the lighting on the portraits, like how do I want those to be stylized? So it's just a lot of little practice goofiness here or there. But for the most part, I'm just really trying to dial in and get a body of work to the point where I can go out and have other people start to look at it and start to give me feedback on the overall concept to see if I can get different directions for that. Because I think once you get enough work created where you can actually then step out and have other people work at it, it's more important to get that feedback as the process is moving along than try to wait until you think you're done and have that exploration. So those current projects are actually pretty exciting for me because I'm getting ready to show those to some other people and get some feedback. So those are kind of the top 5 questions I've gotten over the last couple of months. A couple of those I've gotten 2 or 3 times, so I'm glad I could have an opportunity to share those with you. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, I've got a Perceptive Photographer workshop here at the end of July that's still got some room in it. You can use the discount code PODCAST10 and get a discount on the workshop. We're also getting ready to announce another workshop here probably in October with RC Concepcion, and I will be doing a workshop. So look for that here pretty soon. I'm also going to be appearing on Creative Live again in August. I'll be doing a class on film photography, black and white film photography, and using a large format camera. So those will be coming up. I'll get you the exact dates and times for those later. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, the Google Play Store. A ranking or a review there would be nice. I really appreciate that. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.